This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Hello, Carly.
Hey, mate.
Just chatting off air about after you talked about your board game crisis that potentially you're going to be going out and buying Guess Who today because it's the one game producer Shelby doesn't mind playing.
Yep.
And you're eager to play any board game at any time.
I love playing games with people. I love it. I love board game nights.
Mainly mind games, I've noticed, with you. It's not true. How good is a mind game? Real talk. So speaking of games, but Alpha Bucks, your chance to win again tomorrow. You're hanging out for that letter and answer, so let's not waste any more of your time. Your letter tomorrow is C for Charlie.
Okay.
Starting with C, name me. No, that's too easy. Name me something in a can.
Carrots.
Sure. Are they?
Yeah, you can get carrots in a can.
I've got coconut cream, which is what you use for a lot of Thai cooking, and corn.
You can definitely get carrots in a can now.
That's a shame.
You know, coming from the girl that knows all about canned potatoes.
Well, that's why I thought I'd ask. It's made me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, carrots. I think the rest, it's pretty easy. There's a couple of ones that we haven't asked before, I'm noticing, but they're gettable. I think we have a chance. Yeah.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. So listen in tomorrow for your chance to win once again. And yeah, yes, yes, yes. All right, well, we're going to run away because we've got stuff to do. So nice and tight podcast intro today. Enjoy the show. And
what about a little inspirational quote to
end it on, noticed
Alan?
Americans say God bless, but I'm not a believer. It's a bit heavy, right? I need something like a God bless that's not related to God. Bless you. Now it's like you sneezed.
Rove had say hi to your mum for me.
I don't like that. I don't want to say hi to Mabel's mums. I'm committing to that. Say hi to your dad for me.
But you made it weird.
Why'd I say it weird? I don't know.
I don't know. It's just like the tone of it just sounded a little like... Okay. Suggestive. I don't
know. Say hello to your dad for me.
Yeah, it seems
your
a bit.
Daddy.
What about
may the force be with
pat
you.
Pat a dog.
Pat a dog?
Well, say hi to your mum, pat a dog. I don't know.
All right, that's it from us. See you later. Pat a dog. No, I don't like it. I don't like it.
That's it from us. Oh, be kind to one another. That's what Ellen said.
Yeah, but she wasn't. It was a lie. What about see you later, guys. May your phone be fully charged.
That's a good one. Or goodbye. Make sure your hair straightener's turned off.
Yeah, that's good. Or you just remind me of the whole magnet thing now. This is a chat off air, but where are we at with that?
What?
Remember the magnets we're meant to get on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you just remind me of something else that we're meant to deal with in the office. I'm going to go deal with that, actually. Enjoy the podcast. See you later. And
make sure your hair straightener's off.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
I feel like everyone at some point in their life has wondered, how do I be happier? Mm. And a Harvard professor has come up with three what they're calling macronutrients of happiness. Now, this sounds like something you got to eat.
Yeah, it sounds delicious.
But these apparently are the three things you need to have a happy life, according to Arthur Brooks. Now, he actually teaches a course at Harvard on how to be happy. So,
how do you get that gig? You know what I mean?
This is because we've interviewed Dr. Happy before, and he's
that's
the Australian
version of him,
right?
Yep.
And I feel like it seems like it would be a very straightforward job, but being happy seems like it's such a complex thing, right? It did stick in my mind him telling us that happiness is something he's learnt that is not locked in. Like,
no.
It's a fleeting thing. Like, I think people think that one day you just wake up and you're like, I'm happy from here on out.
Yeah.
But turns out that doesn't happen. But if you want to be happier, these are the things you can do.
Okay.
So these make up the three pillars of happiness. Number three, purpose. So it says purpose is the feeling that your life has a sense of meaning.
Yeah, that's 100%. I get that.
So I guess, if you've got a reason to kind of wake up each day or if you've got something you're working towards, then, that makes a lot of sense.
I think to get half real for half a second, for purpose-wise, for me, when I was feeling at my lowest, that's when I started doing all my weird charity stuff where I went out and started doing Cat Haven stuff and I started doing the social committee and all that sort of stuff just to try and find a little bit more of a reason to do stuff. And it worked. Totally worked.
There's actually been studies into that show that volunteering is one of the fastest ways to boost your happiness by helping someone else.
It's literally true. Plus, you get to hang out with cute little kitties the way I did it. It was
absolutely
perfect. Win-win for me.
Number two is satisfaction. So satisfaction is the joy, the reward that you get after you struggle for something.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, you know, when you've got that, oh, is this ever going to happen? And and you know, when you have those moments of like, I've got to push through this, this may or may not happen for me. And then you get that satisfaction of, hey, it may have taken years or it may have been harder than what I thought. And that actually locks in that sense of happiness.
I had the same feeling yesterday when I finally finished putting together a flat pack bit of drawers.
There you go.
I was like, am I ever going to get through this? Is it ever going to happen? It felt like years, but we got there.
But number one, the number one thing you need in your life, according to Arthur Brooks, is enjoyment. He said, people often assume that enjoyment is simply pleasure. He said, which isn't an accurate way to think of it. Constantly chasing purely pleasurable experiences is a terrible way to live a fulfilling life.
Uh-oh.
He said you can experience enjoyment when you take a source of pleasure and add people and memory to the mix.
Okay.
So if you're doing something that's pleasurable and can be addictive, you don't do it alone, and then you can get enjoyment, which is a source of actual, authentic, and enduring happiness.
That makes sense. Like, you get big KFC feast and you eat alone, it's a bit sad, but eating it with friends is kind of nice, right?
Yeah, it's like creating that moment and that memory.
That's true.
It's like, yeah, it's bringing people in on that sense of enjoyment.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not easy to implement, but try it, I guess.
Yeah. Geez, you've got a lot of work to be happy, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of self-reflection as well, because sometimes you don't even realize how unhappy you are until you kind of go, wait a second, what's going on around here?
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, that's right.
I like this quote, though. Happiness is not a destination, but a direction.
Oh, and that's a great quote.
I think that's so true, right? Because sometimes I feel like people are put in situations where there's going to be unhappiness, right?
Absolutely.
Like, and especially now more than ever, times are tough.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's, if you can just feel like today is a little bit better than yesterday, then I feel like that in itself, one foot in front of the other, I feel like that is got to just move the meter a little bit.
But even what you said at the start of this, where you said, like, you know, if some people think they just wake up happy, then you're just happy forever. It's not like that.
No.
It isn't the destination. It's about just trying to get there.
And also life happens, doesn't it?
Life happens.
And we're all human, so things are going to affect you and you're going to have down days and up days. But
what a deeper chat than I was expecting out of this. I was really expecting to make a few jokes. Take the mickey out of this guy, say that he's not that happy.
I think he knows what he's talking about. Who would have thought a Harvard professor would be on the money?
Yeah, I'm shook.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and joining us now, you'd know this man from absolutely destroying Tommy Little. Very funny comedian. Can't wait to see him for the Perth Comedy Festival at Rechabite Hall on May 3rd. Tom Ballard, good morning.
Good morning, friends. I feel like I should have taken over the show, right? Like, I've defeated Tommy Little in the roast.
I agree.
And I think that I should replace him and we'll be being Carrie.
You roasted him so bad, I think you actually own the company. I think you're now our bosses.
Hell yeah. It was so good. I love a comedy roast. I've watched them for years and years. And whenever I see like an Australian one's going to happen, I'm like, how are we going to go with this? Because sometimes we're a little bit scared to go too hard. Not you, Tom.
Full credit to the wonderful people at the Carrie and Tommy Show. They said, go for it.
Yep.
You know,
you certainly did.
Do whatever you like. And everybody did. And a lot of it didn't go to air.
Yeah.
But the stuff that did, I think, was still pretty edgy and fun. And it was like an amazing night. It was really good.
What's the hardest part, delivering the burns or taking the burns?
Well, I just, as a comedian, we're so sick in the brain that if someone writes a really great joke about you, even if it's brutal and insulting you, you got to respect it. You just got to be like, you know, fair play to you. So, you know, Dave Thornton's saying that I look like Josh Thomas ate Josh Thomas. I mean, that's, it's just good stuff. You got to respect that stuff.
I feel like I'm self-conscious enough and I just sit there and I'd be like, oh, cool. Every insecurity is being brought up tonight. Well, thanks, gentlemen.
What was it like after? Was it like kind of awkward and everyone's side-eyeing each other?
No, everyone was really buzzing because it was sold out comedy theater in Melbourne. That's about 1,000 people. Everyone killed. Everyone felt really good. Adam Gilchrist is weird because I never met Adam Gilchrist.
He's the loveliest guy, by the way.
The loveliest man in the world. We had a brief chat beforehand and in my head, I'm just thinking, I'm sorry about the things I'm going to say about you. But he was a really good egg, yes. The great fear is that someone roasts something about you that you're not aware that people think about you. So
no.
A little bit chubby, gay, annoying lefty guy, totally fine. But if someone was like, how about Tom Ballard's nose? I'm like, I thought my nose was fine.
Yeah.
What?
That's so true.
That's what would happen. I'd be like, isn't it weird that Alan's eyebrow is slightly different on the left one? I'd be like, excuse me.
And then you don't want everyone to laugh too hard. You're like, oh my God, this is a familiar laugh.
This isn't true.
It's not true. When you do a good roast, but Jesus, geez, it must make anyone nervous that's going to go see you if they plan to heckle. They'd be like, you know what? I'm good. Like,
that is a good way to shut up the hecklers.
Absolutely, right?
That's true, yes. You want your audience constantly in fear.
I agree. It's what we do on this show.
Your birds. I like people, people chipping in and, you know,
what about babies chipping
things
in? How do you feel about that?
Oh, God, the baby discourse.
Even Doja Cat's weighing in on it this morning.
What's her take?
Well, I think she's seen Arge get all this press.
Right.
And, you know, any press is good press. And said, oh, yeah, I don't want babies at my show either.
She's banned them too.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because during that same festival, I had a baby speak out in my speak out.
I think this is rather good.
Thank you, baby.
It's a really, really right-wing baby who hated my act. But no, there was silence from the baby. And then about 20 minutes in the show, I had a moment where I said, any Americans in? Silence, except for this baby. And that made me laugh so much because to have a surprise baby when you didn't know there was a baby in the room, like, I lost my mind. And then the baby was quiet for the rest of the show. So I had the ideal baby situation. I was happy for the baby to be there.
Came in for the punchline.
Yes. Yes, great timing. Really good timing. With
unless it was the birth of the baby, if it wasn't there when you started.
That's a real surprise baby, isn't it?
If anyone breaks their waters, that's the ultimate heckle, perhaps. Just a woman, maybe if she laughs so much and then brings on the baby, that would be pretty cool.
That would be amazing. Cool. New challenge, maybe, as a comedian.
Bring out the babies. Okay, if you're having trouble with your pregnancy, come in heavily pregnant. I'll try and make you laugh so hard. Bop.
What a sell for the show.
I like it. I like seeing that on the reviews, you know, because I see a bunch of 5 stars. But yeah, you're right. I don't see any, this made me laugh so hard, my baby was born.
I had a baby.
That would be a pretty good review. Good point, well made, is the name of the show. Talk us through it. What's in the show that, I mean, obviously you're not going to be roasting anyone, right?
No roasting. Okay. Well, Peter Dutton gets a bit of a go. And people who voted no with the referendum last year.
Okay.
I mean, all no voters are welcome because that's 61% of the country. I need to sell some tickets. And so, of course, in typical lefty fashion, I'm whining about that and trying to reflect on what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also an incredible routine about wiping my ass, and there's really something for everyone.
It really is, isn't there?
Yes. Perth Comedy Festival, Rekabite Hall. You're going to be bringing it there. Cannot wait. Tom Ballard, an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, friends. Cheers.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
The Fame Game.
All right, this is where you test my pop culture knowledge.
Yes, and today, Alan, I am testing you on celebrities and their hobbies, what they're doing in their downtime when they're not being rich and famous.
Cool.
Now, let's kick it off with tattooing. This celebrity is such an avid tattooer that they have done upwards of 50 tattoos.
Okay.
Who is it? Is it A, Margot Robbie? Is it B, Gwen Stefani? No Hollaback Girl.
Yeah, okay.
Or is it C, Katy Perry?
Okay, so here's the only thing I have to go off is that I know Margot Robbie did do tattoos for people on the set of Suicide Squad. I remember hearing that. And she did a bad job from what it sounds like. Katy Perry has tats. Gwen Stefani has tats. Gwen Stefani is a Hollaback Girl. Or ain't she a Hollaback Girl?
No, she ain't. Did you learn nothing?
I learned nothing. I learned to spell bananas. But other than that, not a lot of takeaways in that song. I'm leaning more towards a Gwen Stefani purely because they've got time versus a Margot who's been very busy. But I know Margot's the only one that I have any concrete evidence of actually ever delivering a tattoo. Lock me in Margot Robbie, but I don't love my answer.
You're bloody dead!
Yes! Okay, there you go.
And that was correct. Suicide Squad, on the set of Suicide Squad, was where she got gifted a tattoo gun. And since then, she's done upwards of 50 tattoos, but she did tell Jimmy Fallon after a couple of bad jobs she has retired.
Oh, good.
All right, let's go to the next hobby. Beekeeping. This celebrity is such an avid beekeeper that they own 2 beehives with over 80,000 bees at their home.
Is this your husband's dad?
No.
Famous beekeeper, but?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hasn't quite hit that celebrity status yet.
Disagree.
Jim?
Disagree. Famous to me.
Is it A, Paul Rudd? B.
No, he's two-faced, too pretty for that. What are you doing?
Beyonce?
Queen Bee.
Or
makes sense.
C, Lindsay Lohan?
Oh, no, there's no good options. No good options.
Talk it out, Alan.
Okay.
So you did with the Margot Robbie thing and it paid off.
It did, but Lindsay Lohan, just no way. I just can't see it. Like, I mean, she's had downtime, sure, but, like, I can't see her putting on the full kit and getting out there and beekeeping. It's just random. Beyonce doing it is absurd because she's the queen bee. It's just so ridiculous. I'm going Paul Rudd. He's wholesome. He loves probably organic products. But then again, you said that name first. You said Margot Robbie's name first. You like to mix up your kind of pattern when you do these things. But I'm going Paul Rudd, lock it in.
You're locking in Paul Rudd?
Sure.
Wrong, Alan.
Yeah. No,
you know what?
Lohan,
it's Beyonce.
It?
I know. She's living up to the queen bee name. Can you imagine how much a jar of that honey would go for?
Oh,
Beyonce honey?
Absolutely.
Meghan Markle's flogging jam. I'll take some Beyonce honey.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Alan, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You can win back the respect of the state here.
Don't
okay?
Need it.
This
Sorry.
Is the decider.
I have it when I get it wrong, to be honest.
Now, this celebrity has come out and said their perfect day would be to spend it knitting. They said because you get something out of it at the end. Sure. Which celebrity is an avid knitter? Is it A, Ryan Gosling? B,
I love that guy.
Dame Judi Dench? Or C, Reese Witherspoon? Which is not how she knits, if she was to knit.
No, that'd be absurd. All right, so Ryan Gosling, I've fallen in love with recently in Fall Guy and Barbie movie. I literally think he's the next, like, superstar leading man. Like, he's been...
He's there.
He's not quite. He's almost
Alan.
There. No, but real talk, he's not. He's been so good in other roles where he's the aside, but he's about to become his own thing. Like,
he's always been my leading man.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I feel that. But he is, like, so close to becoming, like, amazing. Like, the way we talk about Brad Pitt forever, you know, like, it's just one of those names. He's going to be that. I love him. I can't see him doing that. Dame Judi Dench, it makes sense. That is the herring that you put in here for me because you're trying to trick me with an old lady doing old lady stuff. So I'm going Reese Witherspoon because she's into all that sort of stuff. You know, she likes reading and, like, you know, sitting there and making these cool little crafty projects and also running an empire of great movies and books. But Reese Witherspoon, lock it in.
Now I'll say this, Alan.
Here we go.
When it comes to Dame Judi Dench.
Yep.
She is an avid needlework embroiderer.
Yeah.
She very famously hands out swear word needleworks to her co-star, so it's not her.
No, it's not her.
You know who it is?
Don't you dare say it.
It's Ryan Gosling.
And just like
he
that,
he loves to knit.
Well, he's not becoming a leading man then. What a shame.
What?
He was doing so well.
Real men knit, Alan.
That's not a thing. Knitting.
Yes.
It's not even about feminine or not. I mean, this guy should be, you know.
He loves to knit. He loves to knit scarves, little booties. I'd take some of his booties.
Okay.
That's for sure.
You don't sexualize my hero.
I'm not. Nothing. You know he would knit a good booty.
I don't like the wording of that at all. That's
anyway,
a shame.
Sorry, mate. You lost.
Oh, no, I feel like I win every time I lose, if I'm being honest.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Alan, I've spoken about this on the show before, and I've got certain friends that they won't play with me. So I love board games, okay? I love them.
Oh, that's where you're going with that, okay.
And
it was the schoolyard all over again.
And I realised that, like, there's been a couple of gatherings at my house now, and I've got this one friend, Joy. She's learnt that I am competitive.
Yeah, you're a monster.
I love playing board games, but I also am like, all right, if we're doing this, we're doing this properly, you know? We're all in on it.
Yeah.
You got to be in it to win it. And so anyway, she has now flat out said, look, Carly, this is not fun for us. You heckle a little too hard. You take
you
it a little too serious.
You do come in hot. You threw cards in my face last time we played and started dancing and you nearly tipped the whole table. Like, it was a lot.
It's because I won. It was called a victory dance.
It was a lot.
I got to play my turn down for what?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't have that music on the hotkeys ready.
I realise that there's a particular group of friends that know this about me and I've kind of agreed to their rules of not doing board game nights with them because they think it gets a little too hectic. So I'm like, whatever. Okay.
I love it.
Fine. So I just have stopped bringing up board game nights.
Yep.
And then I realised the other day when my friend suggested one at her house that she has never done a board game night with me. She doesn't know what she's in for.
Why are you going to burn her then? You should be
now,
being
here's
polite.
The thing. Russell said this. He's like, and also it's at her house. Now, I get uncomfortable with board game nights at other people's house because, A, I am the professional. Like, I've asked her. I'm like, first of all, what's the snack situation? She's like, I don't know.
True.
And I'm like, okay,
yep.
This is already alarming.
How expensive is the table that I can flip?
And also I'm like, well, what games are we playing? Like, I need to practice. What if it's a game I've never played before? I need
then
to know the rules.
Then you learn on the spot.
No, because then I can't go in prepared to win.
Oh, my God.
So,
you're hurting
there's
me.
There's all these things that I'm, like, going
Let
around.
Let go of my wrist. why are you not blinking this whole time?
So
you're scaring everyone.
Russell has spoken to me. He's like, Carly, you need to calm down if you want to continue to have board game nights. Because he's like, this is your opportunity to find some friends that we can play board games with. You've burnt all the others.
You're like a misbehaving dog who they just want to, you know, hang out with other dogs. Like, how do we train this?
If you're going to play. If you're in it, you got to win it. Like, I'm not here for like a casual board game night. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here for fun.
Yeah,
I'm here
for fun. Doesn't sound like it.
This is the Olympics for me.
Well, certainly the Olympics isn't the Olympics for you. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. So, Russell has told me to not go in so hard. He even suggested, and I was like, oh, my God, do not.
A muzzle.
No.
Oh.
He suggested that I lose.
Like, throw the game.
Throw the game.
No, don't do that.
Because he said, you cannot be humble. He's like, you cannot be humble when you win.
Oh, actually, maybe do that.
But I'm like, I said to Russell, what is the worst, me winning or me losing? And then he realized what he's asking
me to
do.
Yeah, losing, you're a bad loser.
I'm a bad loser.
Yeah. Worst
winner.
Yeah.
So what can I do? I'm like, what, you want me to sit there in the corner?
I'd prefer that. Sit outside, maybe. Slice a pizza. Have some alone time. Think about what you've done. What you've got to do.
Anyway,
so what have you landed on? What are you doing?
I don't know. We're going to find out. I'm just going to feel it out, okay? I'm going to feel it out.
Yeah, the person with the worst instincts in the world is going to feel it out. Awesome. How's that going to go?
The thing also is it goes beyond me, right? So not only is it like us, like at the board game night, but she's also invited other people that I don't know that well, like her sister-in-law, who I get along with. She's lovely, but I've only met her twice. So I don't know what kind of competitor I'm up against, you know? So I feel like I'm just going to see how the night plays out. I'm going to vibe it out.
Yeah.
And Russell did say, you know, you're in someone's house. You have to be respectful.
These are things that shouldn't have to be said, by the way. These are things you should just know.
Look, normal Carly, I'm fine.
I don't think you are, but anyway, continue this lie.
But when it's games and when it comes to games night, like I don't muck around. Like I said, it is my Olympics. I live for this stuff. I love board game nights. So anyway, we'll see how it plays out. I'll let you know if I still have some friends afterwards.
Won't.
You don't think?
What game are you guys playing? Do you know yet?
Well, I don't know. This is driving me wild. I've literally asked her like 5 times, what are we playing? She won't tell me. I'm like, are you holding out on me? Is this a gameplay? What's going on? I see what she's doing. This is a tactic. See, I'm already in game mode. So you know what I've done?
Oh, God.
I've offered to bring the board games. I've been memorizing every trivia question on a certain board game that I have.
Okay.
Give me this one thing. I need it, okay? I need to win game night. Anyway.
You're out of control. I'm legit actually scared.
Well,
and also, that laugh was way maniacal than I think you realized. That one too. It's like, just
anyway,
blink, please.
We'll find out. We'll find out how it goes and if I still have friends.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on Crime Stoppers.
But you win some, you lose some.
Someone's going crazy and ripping apart a house. Oh, that must be Carly Borch. We found where she was last night. Yep.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Hit breakfast with Alan and Carly, and another day, another list has come out of the best beaches in the world. WA making the list twice. Number 6, Turquoise Bay in Cape Range National Park, and then number 33, Wharton Beach, which is in the Duke of Orleans Bay.
But we feel like there's great beaches here in WA and we should have seen more on the list. And I feel like a lot of the times these lists are done by people over east or influencers that will literally get told to go to one or two beaches in WA.
Yep. So I got us thinking, you know what? Let's just get the people of WA to tell us where their favourite beach is and we'll make our own list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make our own party.
We don't need their list. Nah. Banana boat.
Who needs it? So Amber, in Dunsborough. Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Where is the best beach in WA?
I'm going to have to say Eagle Bay.
Oh, they got a brewery out of it, so, you know, no argument from me. Yeah, that's a good beach. What's good about it?
Well, you've got the white sand.
Nice.
The parking is right on the beach.
That's
what I like. I love that.
Yeah, and you've also got, like, aqua crystal clear waters as well.
You've set a scene.
I'm sold. You know what?
That would also make a good screensaver.
Absolutely, at the very least.
Definitely.
And the beer, once again, Eagle Bay Brewery, I'm just saying. Let's go to Jenna in Bustleton. I'm noticing Broome's been quiet, by the way. Not a lot of calls from Broome.
Yeah, well, how is no one calling?
If only they had a good
beach
in Broome.
Maybe Jenna. A world-famous one.
Jenna in Bustleton, your pick for WA's best beach.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm from Bustleton, and we have a pretty good beach.
Like the one by the jetty?
Yeah.
It's good when it's not stinky. Just saying, seaweed washes up on that bad boy every now and then.
I do see a lot of people swimming there, though.
It does wash up every now and then, but yeah, it's during the summertime, it's absolutely gorgeous.
And you know what? Once again, walking range to a brewery. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, exactly. You just unlocked the key to a good beach.
For me, the closer the beach is to the brewery, this is the way you're going to sell me. Yeah. Yeah. Jenna, thank you very much for your call and suggestion. I tell you what, we should maybe start compiling a list, then we can release it, and then everyone will report on it. And then all of a sudden, you know, but then we've got to pick favorites in WA. We can't do that.
Well, we're not doing that.
No way.
I don't want to be across that. No way.
Then we'll have people like boycotting the show from different parts of the state. We can't do it. We can't do it. But I'm sure everyone's
got their
favorites.
Let's just say every beach is beautiful.
Yeah, that's nice and vague. I think my favorite is the West Australian coastline. Vague, baby.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.